And so now our scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. In fact, we're picking up right where we left off last week, Luke chapter 6, 27 through 38. So I want you to hear now the words of Christ. "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last week's scripture was one where I shared with you that it was uncomfortable for me because I feel like Jesus is being a little bit reminding me that I'm fit in the woes category, in the blessings and woes. And this week is yet another where Jesus, I think, is making me uncomfortable. It's one of those, right? When I first started in the ministry, people would say things like, "Oh, well, you stepped on our toes this week," right? Or "you started meddling." And I remember growing up that some of the older folks in the church would tell the preacher, "Well, you stopped preaching, you started meddling this week." And I think Jesus is meddling in this scripture. He tells us a lot of hard stuff to do, right? And I want you to think about how in life we often give lip service to paying attention to something, but we don't actually do it. And I'll give you a few examples. One of them was reminded of this morning by Kathy. She talked about she has a dentist appointment coming up. And I don't like to go to the dentist because it seems like every time I go to the dentist, either I have something awful that has to be done, or it's a like hour and a half torture session of trying to get all the junk off my teeth, right? Meanwhile, I used to go at the same time as my wife. And I hope she watches this one, because she would be in the other room and she and the hygienist would be laughing. And I'd have spent all this time trying to brush, trying to keep everything right, flossing once during the 6 month period, you know, like everybody else does, and then showing up and wondering why my teeth were all messed up and why they weren't clean and why I was bleeding and they were scratching and all this kind of stuff. Every time the dentist would ask me, "Are you going to floss this time?" What'd I say? "Yes." "Oh yeah, 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 yeah. No, I'll do it this time." I think my record's like 4 days, right? And then I was back to my usual, "I don't want to do that. It hurts. It makes my gums bleed. I don't like, because I haven't been doing it right." I'm aware of the fact that I'm my own worst enemy in this. But yet, we do that with flossing. We do that with our New Year's resolutions, right? Every year, there's a cottage industry. Notice how many gyms will give you that first month for free, right? They know they're not going to see you more than once, right? And if they do get you for the rest of the year, that's awesome. Then you're paying them $12 a month or whatever. You're paying them money, and they've got you. That's awesome. But otherwise, they got you in the door, and maybe you spent some money on something else while you were there. Who knows? We get all kinds of things in our lives where we decide, oh, yeah, yeah, yes, no, I'm gung-ho, I am going to be, I'm a good flosser. I'm good at making sure I'm exercising. I'm a really good student. I have students tell me, I study a lot. And then the first midterm comes along, and you're like, well, maybe you really didn't, right? You know. And I was watching the Olympics, and it made me think about, what is it that makes a difference between, say, a great curler and somebody who likes to throw rocks around on frozen ice? Okay. Now, I'm not saying anybody can be a slope style or a, you know, half pipe person. Okay. Like, that takes some like super athletic skill. Okay. But I think anybody could curl, right? Like, if we practiced enough. The thing that keeps us from doing that is commitment. Right? Now, sometimes it's money. Oftentimes it's money, right? I think that my wife and I were looking up, we're like, that looks like a lot of fun. Let's see where we can do that. You know, there's two places to curl in the state of South Carolina. One is in Charleston, and the other one's in Lawrence. Okay, so at least one of them's a little bit closer. But, you know, so access, commitment, and persistence is what keeps people from being able to do that, right? Did you see one of the American dudes for curling? Like he was business in front and party. He had like a mullet. He was like a chunky dude. He did not look like an athlete. He looked like maybe he was in the bowling league, or maybe he was going to sit out on the bed of his truck and have some beers. Like, that's what the dude looked like. What was the difference between him and some guy who just is like, oh, I could do that, right? Because we all watch the TV. Or like, I could do that, right? Or at least maybe men do that. Maybe women probably aren't as bad about this, but men kind of are. I could do that. What is the difference? Well, the difference is one guy took his time, learned, practiced some more, and developed his skills and honed those skills and said, even when I don't want to get up and do my whatever exercises you do to toss that rock across the ice, he did that every single day, right? And all these people, right, there are plenty of hopefuls that are out on ski slopes who can swish back and forth and stuff. But the difference between them and, like, you know, the greats in the sport are the greats in the sport devoted all their time to it, right? And so, we can say that we're really devoted to something, but the time and effort that we give to it shows whether we are or not. And this is why I think Jesus is meddling here. Is that Jesus says, I say to you that listen, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And this isn't even the one where Jesus talks about piling coals up on their heads. Like, I like that one. You know, that gives me a kind of a jerky motivation for doing nice things to mean people. It's like, okay, it'll make them feel bad, you know? No, he doesn't even say that. He says, do it because God does it. Man, that's nice. I don't want to do good things to those who hurt me, right? I don't want to be kind to those who are cruel. I don't want to turn the other cheek if somebody strikes me, right? How many of you were told growing up, right? And you can probably complete the sentence. I don't want you to start the fight, but yeah, but I want you to finish it, right? That's what my good Christian Methodist calm parents told me, right? Who later became a pastor. We don't want to do these things. I don't want to turn the other cheek. If somebody takes away my coat, I want my coat back because it's my coat, right? And I sure don't want to give them my shirt. Give to everyone who begs from me. Huh? Oh, what? Even the guy at the Walmart parking lot? Like, even him? Right? You see where it becomes, I see that in my Christian life, I'm dangerously close to being the guy who sits and complains about how come they didn't get the gold medal when they've devoted and sacrificed and worked hard and practiced, and I've done none of that. You see, being a Christian is not just saying I'm going to do something. I wish everything in life worked that way because my teeth would be perfectly flossed. I would have excellent control over what I eat. I would be super physically fit because I would say I was going to do it and it would happen. But that's not life, is it? And it's not being a Christian either. Being a Christian means actually following the way of Christ, and that is hard sometimes. Not hard in the sense of we all have to go and be hung up on a cross, because that's already happened, right? Jesus did that for us. We don't have to be the one that redeems every single person, but we do have this rubber meets the road stuff that Jesus tells us. Loving our enemies. Not withholding. Giving to everyone who begs from us. And it leads me to question, you see, what we tend to do is we tend to justify why we don't do something, right? Okay, we'll go back to my easy things. Why don't I floss? Well, I couldn't find the floss. Makes my gums bleed. No, I don't have time. I'm in a hurry when I'm going to school. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm worried about it. I have a crown over here. And I can come up with 1,000 different reasons why I shouldn't floss, right? I can come up with 1,000 different reasons why I don't have to love my enemy. And I can look at the scriptures and I can find one. I can find something in the Old Testament where it kind of sounds like God is saying, you know, smite your enemies or something, right? Say, no, I like that one a little bit better, you know. Or I can find something out of Proverbs that kind of seems to contradict that. And I say, well, you know, it's actually more complicated than that. And when Jesus says to give to everyone who asks from you, he only means if we can give them a certain, you know, background check and this, that, and the other, and make sure that they're going to do good things with it, and on down the line, right? I can justify and I can make excuses for why I don't have to follow anything that Jesus says right here. And if I'm honest, that's what I do most of the time, right? I find loopholes. But I'm confronted when I read this scripture again for the 300th time or whatever. What if Jesus actually means it? What if when Jesus is down there and that crowd of people all wanting to touch him and wanting to get some of his power, what if when he turns to them and he says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, what if he means actually love your enemies? And what does that mean for me? Can I push send on the snarky, hateful Facebook post that I want to send because those people are dumb and wrong? Can I make my snide comment when somebody passes me that I disagree with? Can I make snap judgments about someone based on what they're wearing, what they look like, what they're driving, what stickers are on that car, that sort of thing, right? Can I do that? Can I love my enemy that way? Can I write someone off because I have had bad experiences with folks like them in the past? Not if I'm taking Jesus, not if I believe Jesus really means it, right? What does it mean to me in the way that I respond to someone who hurts me if Jesus really means for me to turn the other cheek? What does it mean for my relationship with my nation, which we're not big on turning the other cheek, are we? Right? What does it mean for me in my life? What does it mean for how I raise my daughter, right? Do I continue that great tradition of telling her not to start the fight but to finish it? Because I can tell you that's what Kristen's going to tell her. What is it? How do I handle these things? Do I give to everyone who asks of me? And when I give, do I put stipulations on that? Somebody asked me, not just for money, right? It could be that guy at the corner with the sign, right? And one of the things that I had someone tell me the other day, and it really kind of adjusted the way I think about folks like that. And they said, you know, hey, I know we all look at it and we say, they're just going to go and spend that on, they're going to spend it on liquor. They're going to spend it on something they shouldn't spend it on. I say, as I'm on the way to the store to buy Oreos and beer or something like that, right? Maybe not to be eating at the same time. But like, you know, maybe, I don't know. But to, you know, I'm off to make unwise decisions with my money, right? But somebody who doesn't have much is not allowed to make unwise decisions with the money that's been given to them. And I get it. We're saying, hey, we want to make a good investment, this, that, and the other, right? But we all do foolish things, regardless of what our order level is. And then, it's not just money. People ask us for things, right? The thing that makes me the most shameful, it makes me feel the most ashamed, is when my child comes to me and asks me for time, right? Daddy, can you? And I got to tell you, there's times, probably more than it, but there's definitely more than it should be, where I say, baby, I'm tired. I don't have time, or I'm grumpy, and I'm like, just leave me alone. Now, I've completely failed in my job when I do that, right? And yet, that's the 400th time she said, hey, daddy, can you, right? In one day, okay? But I think about how many times do I look at God and say, hey, God, can you? Give me. Do this, please, right? And that God is patient and kind and loving each and every time. And how often do I fail to do that for one that is mine, right? Much less somebody wasn't there when they came into the world, right? What if Jesus actually means for us to do these things? Lend without expectation of return. What if Jesus expects us not to judge? This is a hard scripture. And I'm glad it doesn't end with verse 36, right? Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's a good thing. Except I find myself always failing to live up to this. I've not turned the other cheek. I haven't loved my enemies. In fact, I've thought ugly things about my enemies. I may not have said it to their face, but I meant it, right? And I guess it's better than like telling them something rude to their face, but it's not good. And then, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Well, I don't live up to that at all, because I don't deserve any of the wonderful gifts that God has given me, and yet, over and over again, gifts. I love how Jesus puts it in the Gospel of Luke. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. For as you give, the measure you give will be the measure you get back. That's a positive way to put it, right? Everything else I've been thinking about how I fail, right? But what if I looked at it and said, hey, if I can give a little bit more, if I can be a little bit more loving, a little bit more forgiving today, then I'm going to get a little bit more of that back. How great is that? Wouldn't it be nice if everything that we did had that positive correlation like Jesus is saying? Give and it will be given to you. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And I have a hunch that you've seen that in your own life. There's a season for you being the one who supports someone else, and there's a season for the time that they support you, right? When the kids and the grandkids show up and they help you when you have a time of need. But there was a time a few years ago where you gave them money or you came and you took care of their kids while they needed a break or whatever, right? And it happens in your family, it happens in your church family, it happens in our workplaces, it happens in our lives. So I don't want to leave you with this scripture of saying, oh, you're just never going to live up to this and it's all bad. Okay? No, we have an opportunity each and every day to judge a little less and thus be judged a little less, to give a little more and to receive a little more, to bless more and be blessed in return. How awesome is that? Like, I want to be able to do that. That encourages me more than thinking, Jesus told me to do this, and I stink at it. So, what little thing, what incremental step can you take this week? Who can you love a little more? Who can you judge a little less? What practice can you put into place in your life that makes a positive difference? If I flossed twice a week, do you think my next dentist visit would be better? Yeah, right? And that's just twice. That's 2 out of 7. Right? It's the same way in our lives with Christ. We don't have to go from complete, uselessness to being Jesus, right? We're never going to be Jesus, but we can be more and more like him. And we can walk closer and closer to Christ as we go. And if that takes a little step, if you start out lifting 5-pound weights, you're lifting weights. Guess what? 98% of people aren't lifting any. So you're doing 5 pounds. It's the same way in their life with Christ. What little step can you take this week to be more in line with Christ's love? And do that. And see how much better that makes you feel. See how much more you get back. And then when we get a little farther down the road, switch to the 10-pound weights. See if you can't do a little bit more. Pretty soon, you'll be that person that's a gym rat in there every time. They know they've got you on the hook. But instead of developing our physical muscles, we're developing our spiritual muscles. Amen?